Yes, indeed. And this is Best Medicine with me, Gaetana. And without further ado, I'll interview my first guest who is on the line. It is Belinda Kirkpatrick. Welcome to the program, Belinda.
Thank you so much.
Now, we're going to talk about your lovely book, Healthy Hormones, A Practical Guide to Balancing Your Hormones. Now, you have various qualifications and have done, it seems to me, a lot of research into the area and given us a lot of good information. But you've also worked with Ainsley Johnston to develop the gorgeous recipes and foods that people, the women can eat. Is that right?
Absolutely, yep. She's done all of the beautiful recipe creation and the food styling and the photography and all the gorgeous illustrations, so it's been amazing working with her.
I bet. Well, they're realising your ideas. They're beautiful. But coming to the information, there's a lot of practical information. You say very early on in the book that you want to help women take charge of their hormones, increase energy levels, reduce menstrual symptoms, that you're, and also that you're passionate about hormonal health, fertility management and miscarriage prevention. So we keep coming back to hormonal health and balance, don't we? This seems to be the central core, is that right, of your work?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
And why is that? Tell us why it's so important.
Yeah, look, I think my specialisation, I guess I've always been really interested in women's health. I've done a master's in reproductive medicine and looked after thousands of women over my 13 years in clinical practice as a naturopath and a nutritionist. And I think, you know, I guess most people or most women from puberty to menopause and beyond really are affected by hormones in some way over the course mm-hmm. of their lives. You know, hormones are rising and falling on a daily basis. So I guess the way that our body produces and reacts to these hormones can really affect how we feel and our overall health.
And, you know, that's a very good point you make about hormones do rise and fall. It's not as though it's going to be the same thing all the time.
No.
And it's good to have women recognising that and accepting in particular how their own particular body works for each woman.
Yes. Absolutely. And teaching women about sort of understanding their bodies and their hormones and what those sort of signs are so that they can understand their bodies and their health a lot better is something that I kind of do every day. And, you know, women are constantly amazed to kind of go, oh, that's what's happening there. And, oh, that's happening potentially to other women too.
Yes. Oh, yes. You're not alone. That's for sure.
That's right. Yes.
And, I mean, you've got a lot of very good information too on menstruation and elements around that and also, of course, painful menstruations. Oh, been there in the teens and the 20s, yes.
Oh.
Understand completely. And there will be so many women. But also the information about PCOS and about fertility and things, these are important areas for a lot of women. There are a lot of women having these difficulties, aren't there?
Absolutely. I think that sort of hormonal health is really starting to become one of the sort of hottest trending sort of health topics of our time, because I think a lot of the time the impact of our diet and our environment on mm-hmm. health and hormones is there. So things like endometriosis, polycystic ovarian syndrome, you know, lowered ovarian reserve, there's mm-hmm. just so many hormonal sort of conditions that can affect women.
And with some of them, we come back to, as you've just mentioned, the dietary elements, the lifestyle elements, which would include things like exercise. But I notice too, you alert people, if they don't already know, you alert them to the environmental sorts of estrogens in various things, in various products that they mightn't realise could be having an effect on them. Is that right?
Absolutely, yeah. So a lot of the personal care products that we use, chemicals in our home, those sorts of things, there's been lots and lots and lots of studies showing the impact of those on our hormonal systems and our health. And I mean, the thing with the book is that it's really designed to give you information but not be extreme. It's not saying we can avoid all of those things.
Yeah.
It's just about kind of, you know, doing your best, making some small changes and working with what works for you, your budget, your lifestyle. It's not an extreme, don't have any chemicals anywhere, although that's probably ideal. It's very practical and, you know, people can take which parts sort of resonate with them and there's practical tips that they can kind of make some easy changes.
Reduce the endocrine disruptors and that sort of thing, but also talk to us about some of the major dietary things that you think are really important. And I notice also you do emphasise the importance of sleep, relaxation, etc., and movement and stuff. But I notice too what's very good is you remind us in certain situations not that women shouldn't be doing very energetic exercise. I think it was to do with fertility and things, wasn't it? Gentler exercise?
Yeah, sometimes women can actually be over-exercising. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like with anything, you know, particularly this book is all about moderation, but, you know, sometimes when people are doing excessive amounts of exercise, which may be healthy and fine for them and they're feeling great and feeling healthy, but if they're exercising quite intensively, you know, maybe 6 or 7 days a week, maybe their body fat percentage is quite low, it can affect ovulation and then can kind of affect fertility as well. So sometimes it's about just bringing that back a little bit or changing some of those for a more low-intensity exercise. But then you've also got that huge majority of people who need to start exercising or need to at least start moving their body. Yeah. And walking is a great start for that, for those people who aren't doing much.
Yeah. So what are some of the important dietary elements for women then too?
Yeah. So with the way that I speak to my clients about sort of, I guess, you know, nutrition, and I don't even really like to use the word diet, but I mean, obviously it's utilised a lot, is focusing more on the things that you can have rather than the things that you can't have.
Oh, good point,
So we're told not to have sugar, and we're told not to have processed foods, and we're told not to have too much coffee and too much alcohol and all those things. And absolutely, don't get me wrong, those things kind of all stand. However, if we focus on what we should be eating, it's kind of easier to do that, and then we crowd out the things that we shouldn't be having as much. So basically the way that I kind of, the mantra of the book and my clinical practice is when you eat, try to make sure there's a good source of protein. So that might be meat, chicken, fish, eggs, nuts, seeds, hummus, those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. Some sort of good fats, so olive oil, coconut oil, avocado, again, perhaps nuts and seeds, and something fresh, which should ideally be vegetables and might be fruit.
Yeah.
So those three elements, protein, fats and fresh, are in most of your meals and snacks. You'll find that that sort of stabilises the blood sugar level. You get the maximum amount of nutrients and you don't really have room for all those other sneaky bits and pieces that we shouldn't be having.
Such a good point. And look, I totally agree with you about that awareness of the importance of having the mix of the protein, good protein source, probably at every meal, would you say?
Yeah, ideally every meal. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't always have to be meat. You know, it can be nuts and seeds. It could be a cup of miso soup.
And it could be like I do.
Butter.
Yeah, I have natural Greek-style yogurt for breakfast and some fruit. And because I'm having that, I've got some nice protein from the yogurt and I'm getting nutrition from the fresh fruit and things. So women can look around for a range of things, can't they, at different meals and for different snacks. You know, it might be in the afternoon they want some yogurt or something. So what you're saying is there's a lot of choice for different women and different needs, but the basic principles are there that they need that protein, they need the fresh things, they need the good quality oils that are going to be good for the body, and that's because it's going to reduce inflammation, is that right?
Absolutely. So the good fats reduce inflammation and hormones are made of fat, so they do need to be there. And fat keeps us satisfied. I mean, if you just have, say, a tuna salad with some tuna and tomato and lettuce, I mean, that's making me feel hungry just thinking about it. You know, if you put through some nuts and some pesto and some avocado, you know, maybe a bit of sweet potato and all of a sudden you're like, oh, no, that's like a yummy cafe sort of sounding meal. Mm. But you know that that's going to sort of fill you up and take you a little bit further. So sometimes people kind of take that healthy eating a little bit to the extreme and then it's imbalanced with not enough fat, not enough carbs, and all of a sudden it's just protein and leaves, and then they wonder why they're sort of feeling hungry or going a bit insane.
Good point. And I love your point about and reminding us that we need certain good fats, the good quality, right sorts of fats that are healthful, because they're important for making hormones and other things in the body. We can't be so low fat that we're getting too little or we're going to have some problems.
That's right.
That's where, again, we come back to your point about balance, don't we, and moderation and sense, you know?
And that's really the basis of the book is, you know, kind of coming back to, you know, sort of, I guess, you know, fresh, unprocessed, whole foods. And I know that even that kind of gets bandied around a lot. But the book has lots of beautiful recipes, but also it has lots of really simple, easy meal suggestions as well. So the recipes are all designed to be able to kind of be made extra and used for another thing, or make a bit of extra here and use that in a bit of breakfast or lunch the next day, which is great. But there's also just some general meal suggestions of things, like you mentioned with your yogurt and berries. Maybe you throw some LSA and some chia seeds on top to help with estrogen metabolism or a little bit more fiber. You know, so there's those sort of really simple suggestions there as well, so that, you know, you don't always have to be making a recipe, but when you've got a little bit extra time, you know, then you can kind of like go and explore all of those.
Yes. And of course, listeners, there is a lovely section in the book for food preparation and planning, getting organized and nutritious meal suggestions. There's so many good areas here for us. And as you say, the beautiful, beautiful images of the lovely food. I'm just looking at the yogurt pots here. And,
Oh, they're gorgeous.
And for those who like something savory, the scrambled eggs with broccoli and cauliflower. Well, how gorgeous and luscious. Red chili lentils and halloumi. Oh, my goodness. And on we go on the... Oh, my goodness, the nutty banana bread with the figs. Oh, oh.
That's divine, isn't it? It's a great snack or a great breakfast.
Yes.
And, you know, kids love that as well. So, it's really yummy.
It makes it easy for women and with families and things. Belinda, I know I've got to let you go, and I say thank you very much. Healthy Hormones listeners, Belinda Kirkpatrick with Ainsley Johnston. It's from Murdoch Books. Do look out for it. Thank you so much for your time today, and all the best to you, Belinda.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me. Have a wonderful day.
Pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye.